Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I do want to thank our latest one-time supporter. I want to thank Elise so much for sending in a donation through support.greatdetectives.net. You can also use the Zelle app to send to box13@greatdetectives.net. You can mail in a donation to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. In addition, I want to thank our latest ongoing Patreon supporters. And I want to thank Lauren, who became one of our Patreon supporters at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. And Neil, on board at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support. And you can join them for as little as $2 per month over at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date on this one is May the 21st of 1950, and the title is The Beggar of Farrar.
You've heard Jack Benny, Amos and Andy, Bergen and McCarthy. Still waiting to entertain you on CBS are Rocky Jordan, Horace Hite, Dick Hames and Joe Stafford, Our Miss Brooks, The Whistler, and Red Skelton.
Now, Del Monte Foods brings you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
Bakshish, Effendi, bakshish.
Yeah, hold it, Simon. You don't belong inside the tambourine.
Oh, but I do not come to beg, Effendi Jordan. If you will permit me but a moment.
Nothing doing. You know our agreement. You work the customers on the outside, I'll handle the ones in here.
But you do not understand, sir. I must speak with the gentleman who sits there with the young lady.
Then wait for him outside. Now, empty, Simon. Go on, beat it.
Your command, sir, but if I do not see him, something most awful might happen. Something most awful.
Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Yes, Del Monte, the best-liked brand of canned fruits and vegetables in the whole wide world, takes you now to the Café Tambourine in Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Beggar of Farrar.
The afternoon had gone on without trouble in my tambourine till Simon the beggar, who worked the spot just outside my door, came in, trying hard to get to a man seated at a back table. I reminded him of our inside-outside agreement and chased him out. But I wondered what he was up to and turned my attention to the man at the table, the retired businessman type. With him, a young woman, brunette, pretty and intense. Tourist, maybe, but I wasn't sure. They'd been coming in for several days, which was all right with me. Then I saw that too much argument was going on between them.
Oh, tell me, Uncle Harry. Something's happened and I know it.
Now, now, Carla, you mustn't concern yourself with this child.
I am not a child. And it's time you stopped treating me like one.
Stop it now, Carla. You said quite enough.
It was getting to be a sideshow, and I decided to step over and get them to hold it down. I was halfway to the table when here came Simon the beggar again.
Defender Jordan, please, sir.
Simon, I told you to stay outside. Now, once is enough.
But I must see the good gentleman. It is important.
Any place but here. Now, for the last time.
Very well, Effendi. I am most sorry.
Simon shuffled out again, and I turned to see the girl, red-faced and crying, heading for the door, too. That saved me another job. And when the man she'd been with got up and left a little later, I was ready to forget the whole thing. I did, for about 5 minutes. Then more trouble opened up back in the alley. It took me 10 seconds to make it back through my office, and another to get the door unlocked and swing it open. There, standing numbly with a smoking gun in his hand, was Simon, the beggar.
He's dead. He's dead. The man is dead.
I can see that, Simon. I throw down the gun.
No, no. It is the gun that killed him. This poor innocent man.
When you came in to talk to him in the cafe, I didn't think you wanted to kill him.
Not I, Effendi Jordan. No, no. Not I, but another.
Then who? Where is he? You're holding the gun.
I could not kill. I, the humble beggar of Ferrar, I do not know the way of the gun. As Allah is my witness,
oh,
I
makes didn't... sense, will you, Simon? Tell me what happened.
I told you, Effendi, in the cafe, I told you something terrible would happen, and now he is dead.
You hear that? The police are coming. They'll get it out of you.
Police? Oh!
Simon! Simon, come back here! He had thrown the gun down and was running wildly down the alley. Something kept me from following just long enough, and as Simon rounded the corner into a side street, the police came piling in from the other way. I let them pick up the gun and held up with the answers till Captain Sam Sophia arrived. After a while, we were in my office, and Sam was eyeing me across the desk.
Now, once again, Jordan, you say the victim was in your cafe a short time ago, arguing with an attractive young lady. What was it about?
We've been all over that, Sam.
Jordan, I find it hard to believe that you could know so little.
Look, if you're putting me on the grill...
You know full well that I'm not accusing you. However, one of my men tells me that he saw a figure fleeing from the alley, one whom he identifies as a beggar named Simon. Well?
Simon's always around this block someplace.
Did you see him?
All right, he was there. He had the gun, but that doesn't mean anything.
What did you learn from him?
He swore he didn't do it, and that's all I got.
So, Jordan, you find yourself in the ridiculous position of trying to protect a worthless beggar.
Worthless, Sam? Simon considers it an honorable profession.
And because of that, you think him innocent?
Oh, he's worked out front for years. He never gave me any trouble.
Jordan, your sentimentality quite overwhelms me.
That's the same. I don't think the old fellow could kill anybody.
Although you saw him with the gun which killed a man, and he fled from the police.
Oh, you'll need a little more than that.
The dead man's pockets were empty. He had been robbed. That is surely motive enough.
Yeah, sounds that way.
Well, Simon will be found no matter where he hides. And Jordan.
Yes, Sam.
I shall disregard your efforts to shield the beggar this once, but not again.
Well, maybe Sam was right, but a couple of things bothered me. To begin with, why had Simon come into my tambourine to beg? He hadn't tried that in years, since we'd made our inside-outside agreement. Why had he tried to contact the man there? I went back into the cafe trying to figure it. That's when I saw a white calling card on the floor by where the man and girl had been sitting. I picked it up and it read, Kunan the Great, Pyramidologist. It's quite a mouthful. I've heard enough about pyramidology to know that it was some kind of trick handed down by the ancients to foretell the future. Some call it science, some call it baloney. Me, I wouldn't know, so I decided to visit Kunan the Great and see what he had to say. The address took me to an upper-class residential section of Cairo and up to a white mansion in the Egyptian style. The big knocker got a quick answer from a dapper little man wearing an ascot tie.
Oh, come in, Governor. Come in.
Oh, thank you.
Here, let me see now. You didn't have an appointment, did you? No, you didn't.
You wouldn't be the butler.
Hardly. I'm Sir Hubert Ludley.
Glad to meet you, Sir Hubert.
Oh, it's just a title, Governor. Sounds nice to the carriage trade, it does.
Get me Kunan, huh?
Oh, Kunan the Great's busy with a client at the moment, he is. But if you care to wait now, Governor.
Thanks, I'll do that. It gave me a chance to look the place over. A good hangout for the Pharaoh's ghost. Filled with ancient symbolic statues, meaningless charts, and duplicates in stone of the great pyramids of Giza. I just sat down in an uncomfortable chair when a door flew open, and out walked the pretty brunette who'd had the big argument with a man in my cafe.
Will you please step out of my way?
Sorry, lady. Can you spare a minute?
No, I have other business.
Oh, wait. You remember me. I'll explain what it's about.
Let go of my...
But you've got to listen. It's for your own good.
Let go, I said. Hey,
look, you've got to tell me some things. I take it you're the great Kunan.
Come in, Rocky Jordan. I think you and I have much to talk about.
I followed Kunan in his purple robes to the inner room. A high-ceilinged affair, all for effect like the rest of the house, only more so, with shades drawn, mummy cases standing near the wall, and dim, hidden lights. He led me to a big mahogany table, bare except for the stone replica of a pyramid in the center.
Be seated, Mr. Jordan, across from me.
Look, I'll make it quick.
One moment, please.
You wanted me, sir?
Yes, Hubert. Mr. Jordan and I are not to be disturbed.
Righto. I'll see to it, sir.
Now, Mr. Jordan, I assume that you come to learn of your future.
Forget the future. Start by telling me how you knew my name.
Names, events, all things are foretold in the Great Pyramids.
Then skip it. Something else is more important.
Wait, Mr. Jordan. Since ancient times, it has been known that the pyramids, built to geometric perfection, placed this world in touch with the sun, the stars, and the infinite. Pyramidology is a science well accepted by my people.
Well, I can have it.
You protest? Others have scoffed until they learned of our remarkable predictions. With exact measurements taken from the pyramids, we predicted the coming of World War I and the Great War that followed. This is all known, and I can give you many more examples.
Oh, save it all, Coonan. I think you know why I'm here.
For matters of your own concern. Look well at the replica before me as I consult the charts. They reveal your cafe, Tambourine, and that a beautiful girl named Carla and an uncle and guardian, Harry Walters, were customers there.
Hey, on the beam.
We also learn that Mr. Walters was killed by a mercenary beggar who then escaped. Are you convinced now of the powers, Mr. Jordan?
Stick to the beggar, Coonan. What happened to him?
That is a problem demanding great mathematical calculations, Mr. Jordan. Not soon arrived at.
All right, let's cut the act, Coonan. You know all about Walters and Carla. I saw her come out of here.
I do not deny my acquaintance with the deceased man and his niece.
Then what's the relationship? What were they seeing you about?
They were clients. It would not be ethical for me to discuss their business. No, there are others waiting.
All right, just send me a bill.
Wait, Mr. Jordan.
Yeah?
I see now that the pyramid casts a dark shadow, one which touches your life. It warns that unless you go your way, unmindful of the problems of others, you, Mr. Jordan, may find death.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Ladies, today I'd like to come right out and ask you to try a special style of Del Monte pineapple. Del Monte pineapple chunks. You haven't really enjoyed pineapple until you've tried them. They're big, generous, juicy wedges of superb tropic pineapple, cut from double-thick slices, about 1 inch wide and 1 inch long. You can toss them right from the can into a salad, or parade them in rows on a cake icing, or broil them with meats. Why, right this minute, you ladies can probably think of dozens of ways these handy chunks can help you. Best of all, you can have these tender, bite-sized nuggets of golden fruit just as is. Rich and juicy, completely refreshing, with that same full-ripe, tart-sweet flavor you find in all five styles of Del Monte pineapple. Remember, I'm talking about pineapple chunks. Del Monte pineapple chunks. You can buy them all over the West. Ask your grocer tomorrow. And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Beggar of Farrar.
Well, I left the great Kunan's house with a big education in pyramidology, but his veiled threat told me I'd been right. The death of the man I knew now as Harry Walters wasn't any robbery murder by Simon the Beggar. And Coonan knew plenty he hadn't told me. Well, it was night by the time I'd parked my car back at the Tambourine and unlocked the door leading into the dark office. A sound inside made me snap the lights on quick.
Don't think waiting here was pleasant, Mr. Jordan.
You'll find tables out front, Carla.
Not for my purpose. What I have to say is to you alone.
You weren't so anxious to talk at the great Coonan's house.
I suppose seeing you there shouldn't have surprised me so much. It convinced me of what I could not make my uncle believe, that you can trust no one.
Why'd you come here, Carla?
Not as a customer again, Mr. Jordan. I'm here because of what I learned from the police, that my uncle was killed by a beggar and you allowed the beggar to escape. Where is he?
I don't know.
I think you do know.
Not where Simon is or what your uncle's death was about or how Coonan figures in. Let's hear your idea.
What I think doesn't matter. Only that I'll never forgive you for what you've done.
Leave the gun in your purse, Carla.
I'll use it, Mr. Jordan. Unless you turn up with that beggar murder, I'll come back and I'll kill you.
She might at that. till her thinking got straight. Add her threat to that of Kunan, and all this because I thought a poor beggar couldn't kill a man. I knew Simon was hiding because he was afraid, but I had to find him for his story before the police got to him first. His only safety was among his own people. And that's all the lead I had as I started out, prowling the dark, silent streets of the native quarter. Before long, I had the feeling I was being followed. Footsteps, a garbage can turned over somewhere, but nobody showed, and I kept going. On the street of beggars, I saw a familiar bearded face.
Parkshish for the poor one who starves.
I've got 5 piastres.
May Allah praise you.
For the whereabouts of Simon the beggar.
Simon the beggar? I would not know of a beggar. I am a worthy one who herds the goats. Be gone and may Allah punish you.
I tried another who worked the streets around the Muski sector. His one eye lit up at the coins in my hand.
Yes, Effendi. I know of many Simons of my trade. One from Fayoum, another from Benghazi, and another from El Alamein.
How about a beggar from Farah?
No beggar from Farah.
A couple of more led me to an old lady hawking worthless jewelry on a corner toward the Azbekia.
Effendi, the beautiful necklace, eh? Fashioned from the pearly teeth of the gazelle. The teeth that bring good fortune. Only 10 piastres to you, Effendi.
I'm looking for Simon, the beggar of Farah.
Ah, mummy's teeth. Mummy's teeth that bring evil. 50 piastres. 100 piastres to you, infidel.
Well, it went on and on that way, and it looked like all the beggars in Cairo had joined in a conspiracy to save Simon from the police or from anyone. But a few words dropped here and there took me north along the Nile, away from the glittering waterfront, to where an old abandoned steamer was grounded at the bank, a place for homeless beggars, and worth a chance. I went onto the ancient deserted deck to search, and suddenly I stopped cold. My follower was still behind. I whirled and came face to face with Sir Hubert Ludley.
Right nice place for it, eh, Governor?
You won't need the gun, Hubert.
Not for long, Mr. Jordan.
A shot missed, and my fist sent the gun sailing out over the water. Hubert's wiry frame scrambled away, and this time he came out near the knife.
Here's another try, Governor.
I was trapped between him and the cabin, and he came in fast, raising the blade. That's when a shadow moved behind him. And Sir Hubert suddenly sailed overboard and down into the Nile. The familiar shadow ducked away, and I went after it. Simon! Simon, wait!
Mr. Jordan, please let me go. For my life, let me go.
I had to find you, Simon. Now settle down this time and tell me what it's all about. This is the only way for you.
I cannot. There is no time, please. The flashlights. It is the police.
Believe me, I didn't know they were around, Simon.
I do not blame you, sir, but now it is
I
too late.
I'm the beggar, Jordan.
Sam, how'd you make it here?
You had only to lead us to this place. Now turn Simon over to me and quickly...
Let him take me, Effendi Jordan.
Sam, he just saved my life. Doesn't that tell you anything?
Only that you were here where you did not belong, in spite of my instructions that you were to keep out of this sordid affair.
Well, you haven't even scratched the truth. Don't believe me, then. Talk to that guy out there splashing in the Nile. Talk to Carlo Walters, to Kunan the Great.
Kunan the Great? Jordan, are you...
I've never given you a bump steer, Sam. Not even when I said Simon was innocent. Give him a chance, will you?
I shall discuss this with you later. Amu Greco, get the man from the water and bring him along.
I stood there biting my lip. In the hands of the authorities, a beggar's about as helpless as a rat in a rain barrel. So I had to act fast. The evening papers had given the address of Harry Walters, deceased, as the Regis Court, a swanky place for wealthy tourists. I went there.
Our rooms bring a very high price. It's exclusive here.
Yes, your carnation tells me that.
All our guests dress for dinner. You wouldn't like that.
A pound note for the key to Harry Walters' suite.
Even the tips are much higher.
There's liable to be an investigation around here about Mr. Walters' death. You wouldn't like that.
Please bring the key back, sir.
I entered Harry Walters' suite and saw a large, book-lined study. It meant that he wasn't a tourist just passing through. A little work got his desk unlocked. A look at his books told me that he'd been a large investor and speculator in Egyptian cotton. That was enough to keep me digging for some more, and I found it in a notebook. Page after page of everything I wanted.
Mr. Jordan, what are you doing here?
Well, come in, Carla. I've got something to tell you.
Get away from the desk. This gun isn't in my purse now.
You won't need it.
You should have tried this desk yourself.
But not you, Mr. Jordan. The clerk thought you were with the police, but I know differently. Breaking into my apartment is a serious crime, but the house detective will take care of that.
Carla, I think you'd better look in this notebook first.
Why should I?
See for yourself. You'd like to know.
All right, give it to me. But I advise you to be careful.
Huh? See anything now? A bunch of signs, numerical symbols, screwy calculations, the degree of certain angles. And opposite every degree is a date.
Well, I don't understand.
Oh, it tells. Every date corresponds with some business transaction on the part of your uncle. Whose symbols were they?
Pyramidologist. Conan the Great.
Sure. Well, the numbers are the shares of stock your uncle had bought and sold. Conan, with his hocus pocus, convinced him he could predict the stock market. He couldn't predict anything.
Well, how can we know? I'm sorry, but I still don't see Mr.
Yeah, look. Look at this last page.
Yes.
Figures to show your uncle bought $50,000 worth of shares in cotton. Yesterday, the market collapsed.
Oh, I see.
Harry Walters was the victim of a full-scale swindle. He knew it, didn't he?
Oh, I'm sure he did. I tried to get him to tell me. I was trying to in your cafe, and that's what we were arguing about.
Kunan knew your uncle had caught on. That's enough reason for killing him.
But what about the beggar?
Yeah, maybe Kunan had used him to spot people with big money. But Simon couldn't have known of your uncle's business transactions. All he knew was that Kunan was after your uncle. Simon tried to warn him not to kill him.
Oh, Mr. Jordan, I'm so sorry. I didn't know whether it was you or Kunan. When I went to him, he only laughed at me. I was beside myself.
I can understand that, Carl.
Oh, thank you, Rocky. I'll do anything to help you now.
There's only one way. Get Kunan.
But how? Well, these figures are no proof of his guilt.
He's got duplicates of all this someplace in his house. That'll be evidence of the swindle and a good motive for murder. All I have to do is to get him.
Oh, I'm going with you.
Oh, no, no. This is a man's job.
Well, you should know by then now that I'm not afraid. Whether you want me to or not, I am going with you.
All right, Carla. Let's go. Carla and I went out together and caught a taxi. We gave the directions to Kunan's neighborhood, and 10 minutes later, we got out a block from the house and walked the rest of the way. Our plan to take him by surprise was a mistake.
Well, Miss Walters and Mr. Jordan, how charming.
Oh, are you waiting for somebody out here, Kunan?
Yes. My precise calculations predicted your arrival. Please come into the house.
Well, that was our plan.
Then this will make it easy for all of us.
Kunan, I think we'd better tell you that...
Should we not be frank, Mr. Jordan? I, for one, am quite annoyed that the police have taken my man, Sir Hubert, for assault and battery.
It could upset things a little.
Yes. It seems that Captain Sabaya saw his attack on you. I do not yet know what Hubert has told him. It is all most inconvenient.
Now we'll help things along.
No, Mr. Jordan. Men of great science can also hold a gun.
Look out, Rocky.
Your purse now, Miss Walters.
What?
Obviously, Mr. Jordan does not have a weapon or he would have drawn it before.
Better give it to him, Carla.
Excellent. Now, come with me to the great inner room. Please to be seated once again at the table.
We didn't drop around for any pyramid reading, Kunan.
No, Mr. Jordan. Instead, you are about to witness a ceremony. Yes, a ceremony which I am sure the ancients would appreciate.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. Anytime the conversation turns to good things to eat, folks talk about corn. Tender, delicate corn puddings, crispy corn fritters, or just plain golden whole kernel corn, steaming hot and drenched in butter. And all those favorites can taste just as good as they sound if you buy Del Monte Golden Whole Kernel Corn.
That's my brand, Larry. I've found it so sweet and tender, and so dependable, too.
Yes, Del Monte corn is remarkably fine, specially grown for very thin-skinned kernels and high natural sugar content. And for you, that means plump, bright, butter-tender kernels, crammed with the kind of sweet country flavor you couldn't forget in a month of Sundays. Compare it with any other brand on any count, See if you don't agree that it's a real, honest-to-goodness find.
And Del Monte corn is such a good value, too. So that's all the more reason to serve it often.
How about tomorrow, then, for a summer corn feast at your house? Ask your grocer for Del Monte vacuum-packed golden whole kernel corn. Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Carl and I sat watching as Kunan stepped to a corner safe shaped like a pyramid. Out of it, he took a bunch of ledgers. Still holding the gun carefully, he carried them over and stood before the big open fireplace.
Well, Miss Walters and Mr. Jordan, I believe these are what you came to find in my house.
A lot of records, Kunan? Stock market transactions? Deals you fixed up with Harry Walters?
And with others. Those who placed their trust in the everlasting pyramids. My predictions have foretold an incredible number of stock successes and disasters.
Such as the crash of the cotton market. Oh, how could my uncle have ever believed in you?
There are many, Miss Walters, who achieve success, but lack philosophy. Thus, they are led to superstition.
And right into your swindle. Your phony calculations convince them they can turn their money over to you, and that's as far as it gets. What gives you the stock market information?
Calculations, Mr. Jordan, and certain excellent connections. After all, these men placed their trust in me, not in their own judgment.
You've nothing more to confess, Kunin.
Then we shall continue. There were so many believers. Here, the Greek Andros, who dropped a fortune in a shipping venture. We place his records carefully in the fireplace.
Rocky!
Easy, Carlo, watch me.
Now, the story of investments made by a man named Benson, sadly wiped out in a gold mining investment. Ah, yes, more, many more. And in a moment, we will come to one Harry Walters. $50,000 in long staple cotton.
When does the big ceremony come, Kunan?
At once. The ritual of fire, we shall call it. It is interesting what a small match can do to destroy evidence which you and the police would have, as you now see.
I held it as Coonan struck the match and turned to hold it to the papers in the fireplace. As the first flame took hold, I grabbed Carl and pushed him over. Another move had me to the switch at the wall, cutting the lights. Coonan suddenly dumped the whole book in the fire and swung around with a gun as I dived behind a mummy case.
Gordon!
I ducked to another shadow, and the room was dark except for the fire.
Gordon, come out, I warn you!
Keep shooting, Coonan! Ask your pyramids where I am now! 5 shots from Coonan's gun, one to go. I found a pencil in my pocket, tossed it across the room, and he swung toward the sound. That was all, and I came out after him. He fought back, clutching for my throat. I tangled with his purple robes, then my hands found his head. And the second time I slammed it against a stone pyramid, the great Kunin wilted and sunk to the floor. Carla was already at the fireplace, grabbing the book and beating out the flames. Well, I called Sam, and while he was on his way, we found Carla had saved all the papers necessary to tie Kunan to the swindle. Sam and I took Carla to her hotel, and finally we settled down in his office.
Jordan, there have been times when you were in error. You did not hesitate to confess.
Oh, let it go, Sam. Things look the way you thought.
Kunan will have difficulty in explaining the facts now before me, when he is able.
There's his confession to Carl and me that he killed Walters. That should help.
As you say. As for the beggar Simon...
Oh, go easy, will you? Sure, he was a spotter for Kunan, but something must have forced him into it.
He has told me, Jordan. It seems that Kunan gave him an expensive gift and then threatened to tell the police that he had stolen it.
He knew nobody'd believe a helpless beggar.
Simon will soon be at his trade again. A great lesson for us, is it not?
How so?
The truth is a great democracy, for it comes from the mouths of the poor as often as it comes from the mouths of the rich.
You know, you're a great philosopher, Sam. Come on, let's have coffee.
For superb flavor, for dependable quality always, enjoy Del Monte fruits and vegetables. Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Larry Roman and Gomer Kuhl from a story by William Frew, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arundt. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station, and the story is A Song in the Night. For a bright beginning or a happy ending to any meal, try sparkling, colorful Del Monte fruit cocktail. Five luscious, juicy fruits are mixed in perfect flavor balance, ready to serve. Save time, save work with Del Monte fruit cocktail. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, pyramidology is definitely a thing, but it's not really an Egyptian belief or have an Egyptian origin, though there are many different schools and views of it. However, if your purpose was to con some gullible Westerners out of their money, you probably couldn't do much better than setting up in Egypt. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now, and we have some reviews from iTunes, and these came through from the UK iTunes store. This one comes from Odeon Normal. I first started listening a couple years ago when I was ill and needed something to listen to when I couldn't sleep. Since then, I listen every night and can't thank Adam enough for his continued efforts putting this out. My husband now listens too. Always impatient for more Rocky Jordan. Thanks so much. E. Cowsman writes, I've been listening for several years now. The presenter goes on a bit, but the shows and the old adverts are great bite-sized fun. Strongly recommended. Me go on a bit? Well, I don't know. Maybe. And then finally we have a review from Blue Law 3 in the United States says this is a great daily feed of a variety of detectives from the golden age of radio. The shows are not all equal, and I certainly have my preferences. They are run in series so that you'll tune into the full run of a particular program. Listening for years, I actually see the evolution of some of the programs. Adam's commentary is quirky and sometimes too literal, but it'll keep your attention, no doubt. All right, well, thanks so much for your comments, Blue Law, and I appreciate you leaving the review. All right, I want to thank our Patreon supporter of the day, and I want to thank David. David's been one of our Patreon supporters since August 2017, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, David, and that's all for now. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Wednesday, we'll be back with another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.